Father, we're so thankful tonight. We revel in your goodness and in your love. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you are doing. Thank you for making us your workmanship in Christ Jesus. We submit our spirits. We have utterance tonight in the Holy Ghost. We're bold to act upon your word. There's clarity in the house. The eyes of our understanding are enlightened. We know what is your will, what is your plan, what's your purpose for our lives. We speak forth because we're sons of God. We give you praise, Father. We exalt you. Thank you. Christ magnified in every utterance, in every action, in every deed. Thank you. Blessed be your name. Thank you. Glory to God. Egodasti sefredele atush tefredia katia nasia do. Unru kieste esisi bruda kayatia. Ekuka lebri eketia la kaku kuku sisefredia la kachtia. Estro prada kili egeligo gagastike kesti kesti keste. You see, men have cooperated with the devil for so long. With waves, tidal events, negative things happening on the face of the earth. For by repetition, by repeating those things that are negative, by speaking one to another of those things that they see, which are facts, they spread the work of darkness and they cause the enemy to gain momentum. But you are born of God. You are from the womb of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You came out of His victory. So spread the word and tell yourself, in the next 3 months, there will be a tidal wave of miracles. Testimonies that will astonish and boggle the minds of men. The miraculous will be a mighty supply in my life. I will experience new heights, new realms. And all that the Father has spoken to me, they will come to pass in this season. Tell another person. Go to another saint and tell them again. Do you know in the next 4 months, there will be miracles of the kind you have never seen before? That which will round up this year, that will wrap up this year, this season. You will see the finger of God. You will see the hand of God. You will see the workings of His power. You will see supernatural aim. You will see favor on every side. You will see the mighty works of the Father wrought through His Son. For the Father is not at rest, because the Son is not at rest. He's only at rest in what He has done, and you are what He has done. That which He has spoken, that which He has released, is backing you up. You will not faint. You will not be ashamed. You will not be weary. You will not give up. For there is a force backing you up. There is a mighty power that causes you to overcome at every single turn. Throw not in the towel. Throw not down the towel. Faint not, for this is for you to be standing. And stand you will. Let the news spread. Let the sound go forth. Let the message be heard. From one lip to another lip. From one mouth to several mouths. Until resonating in your mind is a cloud of witnesses of the testimonies of the mighty workings of the Father that will take place, that is taking place in the life of the saints today. Let the news go forth. Let the message be heard. Let the sound drown out every other negativity that the enemy has released. And then you will see in the wake of all that is said and all that is declared, the works of the mighty angels who are released in this time, in this hour, just for this purpose, to fulfill the word of God and the life of the saints. Be strong, be encouraged. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's start from there tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm going to jump straight to verse 23. Pardon me tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If therefore the old church become together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say you are mad? But if all prophesy, there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convicted, that's what convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. So notice verse 23, if therefore the old church will come together into one place. So notice what is unique about our gathering. It is not a place, it's our coming together. If therefore the church, who is the church? 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. You know, the epistles were given to us to explain the activities we see in the early church. In 1 Corinthians and chapter 3, verse 9. It says, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. You are God's garden. So you are the garden that God has planted. You are the garden God is personally what? Nourishing. Look at verse 16. It says, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Can you see that? Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God finds his habitation in you. So if therefore the temples of God become together, or the church become together into one place. So when the Bible uses the word temple, it means by constitution you are referred to as a temple of God. So if therefore that temple or the temples of God come together to form one temple, become together, and all express what is resonating or what is consistent with that temple, what is consistent with the temple, you are the husbandry, or you are the garden of God, the planting of God, you are that temple. Say amen. So again, by constitution, therefore, you have the Spirit. That you are God's temple simply means the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, that same Spirit, when we come together, finds expression. It says, how is it when you come together? When you all speak with tongues. So every single saint, every single one who is a house, who is a temple of the Spirit of God, is able to express that Spirit by speaking. Notice again, Acts chapter 2. And I read from verse 1. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Notice, they were all. Now, remember the person that wrote chapter 1 wrote chapter 2. So in chapter 2, he simply continued what he said in chapter 1. In chapter 1, look at verse 12. Chapter 1. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they were coming, they went up into an upper room where they abode, both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. These all continued one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus with his brethren. Can you see that? With his brethren. So in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they were 120. They were together in one place. Who were they? They were temples of the living God. Hallelujah. That's crucial. So go back to Acts chapter 14. Because again, the epistles is now giving an explanation. An explanation. So when people say things like in Acts chapter 2 verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That is, they began to speak other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Paul is explaining that phenomena here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at verse 23. If therefore the old church be come together, remember Acts chapter 2 verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were together with one accord. So it was by desire and by design they came together with agreement. Thank you. They came together by desire and by agreement. They came together. So here also there is a coming together into one place. What constitutes the church? They are temples of the living God. Or the Spirit of God finds expression in and through them. So he says, if therefore the church become together into one place and all, notice all, say all. So whatever is about to address concerns all who have the Spirit, who are the church, who come together into one place. So it says, and all speak with tongues, and they come in those who are unlearned, that is unschooled, untrained. Now, we are going to explore that later. It says, all unbelievers, will they not say? So what their conclusion be? They will say. Now, they will say this, but does that mean you are mad? No. They will come to the conclusion that it's wrong because they don't have that knowledge that you have the same Spirit. Say amen. Now, go to chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have a word ignorant. Now, remember, when Paul is writing church at Corinth, they were familiar with things of the Spirit. What they were not familiar with was the proper use of the things of the Spirit. So, when it says, now concerning things of the Spirit, brethren, I would not. So, that's like a rebuke. I would not have you ignorant. It says, for you know you were Gentiles, carried away unto this done by us, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand. So, what did Paul bring with respect to the things of the Spirit? He brought understanding. He gave them a body of knowledge to produce what? Understanding. So, go back to 1 Corinthians 14 again now. And verse 23 again. So when it says, if the church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, so he's riding on the understanding or the instruction he has given to them from chapter 12 to chapter 13 up the way to chapter 14, which is now building on. So he says, when you come together and all speak with tongues, there is nothing wrong with all speaking with tongues. Here is the issue. If they are coming in the process of time, when you begin to exercise the Spirit, how are you exercising the Spirit? Remember, he that speaks in tongues speaks not to man but not to God, for no man what understandeth, howbeit where in the Spirit he speaks what? Mysteries. But he's talking about congregational gathering and speaking. Now you came together, just like they came together in Acts chapter 2. You all speak with tongues to express Spirit, which is native to every single one who's gathered together. But there's an issue. If they are coming, so that's the clause. If they are coming, now what is the first instruction in chapter 14? Look at verse 1. Because Paul says, wherefore I give you to understand. What is the understanding? I don't want you ignorant concerning spirituals or things of the spirit. So if things of the spirit require understanding, it means the things of the spirit and the administration of those things can be taught. Now, you cannot give to people by teaching. What you can give to people is the understanding of what they already have. Say amen. Hallelujah. So again, look at verse 1, chapter 14, verse 1. It says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. The word gifts is italicized, but rather that you may what? Prophesy. What is Paul teaching? I want you to understand. I don't want you to be ignorant. So what is ignorance? Not understanding that love should be the priority for flowing with the things of the spirit. So he says, follow after or let love lead the way with respect to your desire. And if love is leading the way, the proof that love is leading the way is that you would rather prophesy or you prioritize prophesying. Listen carefully. The implication is that prophesying is a function of a man desiring based on knowledge. Okay, I think I'm speaking very fast. Is my pace okay? Okay, it's a bit fast. Now, prophesying obviously is a function of desire that springs from knowledge. Notice, follow after love, that's charity, but desire. So, it says, follow after charity. What's charity? Love. And as we go on in that chapter, you discover love is called profiting, love is called greater, love is called excel. As we go on in the chapter, I will show us, love is doing the better. So, it says, follow after charity. To follow after means, let love be the motivation. Let it be the springboard for what you're about to desire. So you are to desire, but then you are to let love shape your desire. And because love has shaped your desire, notice what you're going to do, but rather that you may prophesy. So when it comes to the things of the spirit that pertain to the spirit, if love is leading you, it says it is rather. Rather means there is a preference. You are to prefer in love to prophesy. So go back to verse 23 now. If therefore the whole church will come together into one place, and all speak with tongues. So Paul is not saying anything's wrong with that. All speaking with tongues means all can express spirit. So there's nothing wrong with that. Now, where's the issue? If they are coming. So there are people who are unschooled. So you are together. Just the way they are together in Acts chapter 2, and they were fine. What were they fine doing? They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they were speaking with other tongues and speaking the word utterance. So what happened when people began to come? And people began to make comments, and some mocked, and some said they are full of new wine. That's exactly the same scenario that happened there that's happening here. So Paul is now giving instruction what all those who spoke in tongues, what they should now do. He says, if they're coming, those who are under it and those who are unbelievers, will they not say? The word say means, will they not come to a wrong conclusion? What's that conclusion? What you are doing is perfectly fine as long as everybody in that gathering is a believer and is learned. Hallelujah. As long as everybody present is a believer and is learned, that is, you are schooled in the things of this. What does it mean to be schooled? It means you have been given to understand. So remember, in verse 2 of chapter 14, it says, he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries, but he. So notice, but he that prophesies. So again, if you're reading it separately, you're not following the line of thought, you will think he that spoke in verse 2 is not he that spoke in verse 3, but it's the same person. So, he that speaks in tongues, he has said that in tongues, as long as it is tongues, the only audience is God. But the same person, in order to fulfill verse 1, what's verse 1? But rather that you may prophesy. So, in other words, how do I show I'm desiring spirituals? I start out in tongues. What should I have in mind when I start out that I will prophesy? That's what is shaping my desire. So, when I start out in tongues, I know tongues is not an end. I know tongues is a means to an end. Or tongues is me expressing love that will enable me to prophesy. So when I start out in tongues, listen carefully, don't let fuel finish on the way. Don't let fuel finish on the way. Don't allow your mind to persuade you that you are not out of fuel. In other words, don't get to the point where you said, I have spoken in tongues, but I don't seem to have, because he said, but rather. But rather means, let love make you prioritize prophesying. How do you prophesy? Look at verse 5. I would that ye all, and when the Bible says ye here, the ye here is not singular, it's plural. It's talking about every single member of that church. So I would, this is my will, this is my desire. I want all of you to speak with tongues, but rather or in order that you prophesy. So notice, I want you to follow the instruction, which is let love lead. If love is leading, what you'll be after is how to bless or to edify or to profit someone. How do you do that? I want all of you to give yourself to tongues. But I want you to do it in such a way that you rather prophesy, or you do it in order to bring you into what? Prophecy. Say amen. Now, see verse 5 again. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy for greater. So again, the way King James interprets, you would think he's talking about the individual being greater, but no, he's talking about the action of amplifying prophecy or prioritizing prophecy as the greater. So here, what he said in verse 1, as desire, or let love lead the way, is now calling greater. Let me say it again. Look at verse 5. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather. Where do you see word rather? It's in verse 1 also. Follow after charity and desire spirituals, but rather. Can you see that? So rather means you are to prioritize, or you are to prefer. What are you to prefer? That you prophesy. Now, if you can prefer and you can determine, that means whether you prophesy or not is within your control. Glory to God. Whether you prophesy or not is within your control. Where does the ability to prophesy come from? From the ability to speak with tongues. So how do I show I'm desiring prophecy? I start to speak with tongues. Because it said something phenomenal in verse 23 and 24. See what it says in verse 23 again. It says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and they're coming those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say you are mad? But if all prophesy, who is all that prophesies? The all that speak with tongues. So if all that spoke with tongues, if those all prophesy, or if the all rather prophesy. So notice they were doing tongues. Then there came in those who were unlearned unbelievers, and they switched. The same ability to do tongues was the ability they converted to prophesy. And he said all. So let me ask again. If you can do tongues, can you do prophecy? Yes. What makes you switch from tongues to prophecy? Desire. What is governing desire? You rather. You prefer. What is governing your preference? Love. It says, follow after love. Now, again, you know, love is not selfish. Love edifies. Love serves another. So, if love is the basis of your desire, you can never start out and not complete the process. Because love will never think about selfishness. Love will never think of yourself or your esteem. Love will simply go on to unravel whatever tongues has packaged. Glory to God. You know, a lot of times, the reason why you don't get up, or when you start out, you don't finish, is because you are sometimes self-centered, and you are not conscious you are self-centered. In other words, you have talked yourself out while you were sitting down of giving the necessary edification that's in your heart to somebody else. So when you are seated, why do you sometimes quietly do tongues? Is that recommended that you quietly do tongues? Yes, it's recommended. What is that meant to do? Go with me to verse 21. No. Let's do verse 27. If any man speak in tongues, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, that is, if the one that speaks in tongues does not interpret, let him keep silence in the church. Notice, he should keep silence in the church. Again, look at the context. If any man speak in tongues, again, King James, the way it is, you've seen the other. And again, when you use the word other, it is not other the way we say it in English. The other is the same person. The one person, the same person. Now, see, if any man speak in tongues, let it be by two or at the most by three. So, there are utterances. He spoke the first time, he spoke the second time. At the most, he should not give more than three utterances without interpretation. So, if he's giving the utterance and he's not interpreting, what will happen? He should keep quiet. In the church. What does it mean to keep quiet? It means it should stop addressing the church. What is the problem? He is not doing the rather. What's the rather? Rather that you what? Prophesy. Can you see the issue? So he says, if you are not going to walk in love, which is to follow after charity, which is to edify, which is to bring profit, which is to do the greater, you should keep silence in the church. What does it mean to keep silence in the church? It means you speak to yourself and to God. Hallelujah. Now, are you out of the game? No, you're not out of the game. What does that mean? Look at verse 27, 28 again. But if there be no interpreter, or again, if there is no interpretation, if it doesn't give forth interpretation, so if he gives tongues, the first utterance, second utterance, and he's waiting, he gives the third one, we should not allow him to say more than three times. In other words, if he's not going to bring interpretation, he's not edifying the church. What should he do? He should keep silence in the church, and he should speak to himself and to God. What does that mean? He should edify himself. Can you see that? He should edify himself. Why is he edifying himself? So that he will get to that place where he can now what? Rather prophesy. So he's not out of the game. He's only saying, he has not yet acknowledged certain spiritual realities. What did Paul say? Wherefore I give you to understand. What is the understanding? Follow after love, but rather that you what? Prophesy. So if I'm desiring spirituals, I desire with a mindset of prophesying, which is to edify. You will see soon that prophesying is a compound word that covers all that tongue is able to convey. Glory to God. Tongues of interpretation is usually called prophecy, but prophecy can be a vehicle to convey every other thing that tongues can bring up. That's what it means. So when he says, again, in verse, let's go back to verse 23. So the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and they're coming those who are not unbelievers. Will they not say you are mad? Verse 24. But if all, the same all, if they want, prophesy. That is the fulfilled verse 1. If they all rather prophesied. So what's the rather? They switch from tongues to prophecy. Why are they switching prophecy? They're coming those who are unlearned or what? Unbelievers. So they switch. So the old church switched. So what happened on the day of Pentecost? Everybody switched. Where did they get it from? They were taught. Who taught them? Jesus taught them. For how long? For 40 days. So they understood that through the power of utterance, what they were saying in tongues, they could as well say it in understanding, which is interpretation, so that the congregation or the crowd could get the benefit. How hear we in our own tongue the mighty works of God? That's what they were testifying. Hallelujah. Put your hand there, go to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2. Glory to God. Verse 14. But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. So there was a demonstration, but the explanation of demonstration was in the teaching that Peter was about to give. So they saw a demonstration. Why? Tongues is a sign to those that believe not. So there was a demonstration. So what was the demonstration? They heard them speak with tongues, and then they heard them interpret. Now, notice Peter standing up and began to teach. He says, hearken to my words or listen to my explanation. For these are not drunk as you suppose, seeing is but a thought out of them. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, said God. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters, or all flesh is your sons and your daughters. So your sons and your daughters means it is not gender biased. There is no female spirit. There's one spirit. Hallelujah. You know, this verse of scripture is enough to confuse you, to convert anybody who tells you they cannot see whether a female pastor. He's one spirit. He has sent an hour and he gave gifts to men. He didn't give male gifts, he gave gifts. The gifts are in male containers and female containers. It does not discriminate. Very simple. And thank God he said, upon my sons and my daughters. If he had only said sons, the day we are in, things will happen. Some people will not see today, women cannot stand boys and in churches. They say, no. You're under my authority. Even now, if you're responsible by saying you're under my authority. You can imagine. They just twist things to just their to African benefit. So he said, it shall come to pass in the last days. He said, God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters. So I will pour out of my spirit. So my spirit, which cannot be seen, will be poured out or will find expression through your sons and daughters prophesying. What does it mean to prophesy? To prioritize love. Can you see that? So notice, the minute I prioritize love, I yield to the spirit in tongues, I will end up interpreting, which is what? Prophecy. And there's your sons and daughters. Look at the next thing it says. It says, shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. The word old men there is a word for elders. So it's not for people that are, it's the only people that are old. You that you are old, don't you dream dreams? Even before you got spirit, when you're not dreaming dream. Now the Greek rendering of dream, there is not dream that you know it. Is divinely granted appearance. So the word old men there is for what you is the same word for pastors, that's elders, that's ministry gifts. Say they shall have divinely granted appearances. That's what dreams are. It's not normal dream. Before you don't need spirit to dream. Whether you ask me, you don't ask me, you people dream. Have you noticed that? And so it's not dream that you think that you need spirit to dream. So the dream there is divinely guided appearance. That's special revelation. That's visions. Look at them. And on my servants and on my handmaidens now. Who is servant and handmaiden? The one he calls sons and daughters in verse 17. They are now called servants and handmaidens. When they become servants and handmaidens? When they started prophesying. What is servant and handmaiden? You are now a vehicle for ministry. A vessel for ministry. So I will pour out. Then when my sons and daughters start to prophesy, they become servants and what? And meetings. Hallelujah. You understand? That means they are now effective for ministry. Because what is ministry? Bringing the things of the Spirit to bear upon another. As long as it's to yourself, it's not ministry. It is ministry when it's brought to bear on another person's life or to influence somebody else's life. Then it's ministry. So the sons and daughters in verse 17, they are now called my servants and handmaidens in verse 18. How did they become? Because they prophesied. Glory to God. Are we together? All right, so go back. 1 Corinthians 14. So, verse 24. So, verse 23. If therefore the whole church become together into one place and all speak with tongues. Verse 24. But if all prophesy. Verse 23 again. If all speak with tongues. Verse 24. But if all prophesy. So, what's the difference between verse 23 and verse 24? If all prioritize or rather prophesy or choose to walk in love. Can you see that? So, if all prophesy and they're coming one. So now they switch to prophecy because of those that came in or because of the audience. So they switch now. They switch willingly. They switch them immediately. They switch because they will rather. They will rather. So when they did tongues, it could not benefit nor profit the people that came in. So they decided to rather. Hallelujah. That is to do the greater. Look at verse 5 again. Look at the greater again. I would that you all, so all of you, you speak. I want all of you to, or I want you to desire spirituals. Because when I begin to speak with tongues, I am showing, I am desiring what? Spirituals. So look at it, but rather. So while I am desiring, and I started speaking in tongues, I can determine to move beyond tongues, to unpackage the tongues by interpreting it. So he says, but rather than you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesies than he that will speak with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive what? Edifying. So go back to verse 24 now. But if all, the all in verse 23 would do tongues, they all now prophesy, and they are coming those who believe not all and it, he is convicted, that's the word convinced of all, he is judged of all. Now look at the next verse. And those are the secrets. Oh, I thought we were talking about prophecy. So when you start talking about secrets, what are you talking about? Revelation knowledge. Hallelujah. Are you seeing that? Now, who is he addressing? The whole church. So let me ask a question. Is revelation gifts peculiar to only a few or to all? Who is he addressing in verse 23? All. In verse 24? All. Can you see the all? Please follow Paul's teaching. This is important. You will soon see why we're saying follow. Because you have to take your cue. You have to take your authority for expressing things of the Spirit, not from your feelings. It has to come from the authority of God's word. Remember, though Jesus taught them personally before the day of Pentecost, Peter did not say, you see us as you are seeing us like this, 120 of us. We were with him. He breathed on us. He coughed in our direction. He leans on everybody. That's why this thing is unique. You were not there. You can't get it. You cannot catch it. No. Peter did not mention Jesus is teaching them once. Peter said, this is that which was spoken. But so he took them to the word as the authority for what they were doing. Can you see that? So the word of God, which Jesus gave them an understanding of, was the basis of their yielding to the Spirit. The ability was there. The desire was provoked by the teaching that Jesus gave them for 40 days. Then their desire now shaped their will in yielding to the Spirit. So when you see Acts 2:4, they were all filled, that is, they began. What does it mean to begin? After you desire, because there is knowledge, then the desire now hand you over to yieldedness. Let me say it again. So there's knowledge. Knowledge empowers your desire because you cannot desire what you know not. So because you know, you are able to desire. Now that you have desired, the desire now affects your will, or it makes you willing. Now let me say it again. So there is first the knowledge. So the knowledge is that desire things of the Spirit. Said, concerning spirituals, I would not have you what? Ignorant. Wherefore, I give you to understand. What are the things Paul began to teach them? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. So, the Spirit in his fullness, the full disclosure of the Spirit, the Spirit without any part left out, is given to every man. But remember, it is for the profit or the benefit of all. Hallelujah. So, it begins to list. Look at, he says, look, go to 1 Corinthians 12, please. Verse 7. Let's do this quick. For the word manifestation, the full expression of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. For to one is given by the same Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another design of spirits, to another diverse kind of tongues, to another what? The interpretation of tongues. Notice, it is given. It is given. It is given. It is given. Now, when it says to another of the same kind, it is given, it is given, it is given. So it is given, or what is called given is the manifestation of the Spirit. So what is manifestation of the Spirit? It gives you 9 parameters as a manifestation of the Spirit in full expression. So to another, it is given. Now look at next verse. But all this worketh. Now what is given is worked. So something is given, it's within. Then it is now worked, or it is expressed. Are you following? So all this, what is all this? The manifestation, which is now explained in 9 different expressions. All this worketh that one and self-same Spirit. Pay attention. Dividing to every man. The word is distributing. Now, pay attention here. It is giving. It is giving. It is giving. Word of knowledge giving. Word of wisdom giving. Design of spirits giving. Gift of faith giving. Working of miracles giving. Gifts of healings giving. All these that are giving worketh. So all these that are giving in the manifestation of the Spirit, worketh that one, that self-same Spirit. So it is one Spirit. So when you have one Spirit, you have the manifestation of the Spirit. Within that manifestation are 9 expressions, which are given. Say they are given. Now, it now says something unique that is important. You get this part, because this is where people miss it. And this is why Paul said, wherefore I give you to understand. I give you to understand. I don't want you to be ignorant. And Paul uses the word ignorant contextually in 2 ways. There's the ignorance that comes from lack of knowledge. There's willful ignorance that after knowledge is received, some still say things like, I know how my God uses me. I will show you. I know you get it then. Paul says, when you see people, I say, ignore them. Don't pay attention to them. Don't accept their ministry. That's what he says. He says, ignore them. And he speaks about those who are spiritual, those who acknowledge that the writings of Paul, that the commandments of the Lord. He says, these are spiritual people. He says, those ones, acknowledge them. That you follow them. But those who, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant still. I don't know why I can give to Israel. Well, if any man chooses to willfully ignore these instructions as a commandment of the Lord, learn to ignore him, is what Paul is saying. No, it doesn't sound like that in King James. But that's what Paul is saying. Because he's making a contrast. So he says, but the manifestation is given. So if it is given, it is that one and self-same Spirit. We just spoke about 9 expressions, but they're not 9 spirits. It's manifestation. So in that manifestation, there are 9 things in expression that you can sort out, you can do it. It says, but all this that the Spirit has given, the Spirit work it. Now, how does the Spirit work it? Pardon the English. How does it work it? Now, sir, all this work it, that one, the self-same Spirit, dividing or distributing to every man severally as well as he will. Then we assume the E is the Spirit. That's the problem is. If he is a Spirit, he contradicts the previous verse. What is given? It is given, it is given, it is given, that he worketh. Now, have you seen the Spirit walking where there is no man before? Just see him on the road. Red trousers, green cap, blue shirt. Even the police will leave their work at a traffic junction and arrest him for causing commotion. Look at the description. Green cap. Bad red trousers, yellow shirts. Ah, saying they will carry it. Now, all this worketh that one, that is the self-same Spirit dividing. So again, the working, the Spirit can't be seen, but the working of the Spirit can be seen. How is this seen? Dividing. What's dividing? Distributing to every man individually as they will. They will. They will take. As they will. What is shaping their will? Understanding. It is not the Spirit that wills. It is man that wills. The Spirit is willing. Because he is willing, he gives you instructions. Do you notice that with respect to the things of the Spirit, Paul's focus was entirely on utterance. He now says, in this utterance, if you pay attention, there's revelation there. Have you noticed that? You notice he doesn't give instructions about word of knowledge or gifts of healings, because they are packaged in the same utterance. If a man desires spirituals, he will speak. How will he begin? He will do tongues. What will he do to tongues? because he is walking love, he will rather prophesy or he will interpret what is said in tongues. And when he's interpreting, he will begin to notice, thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. We have a service one day like that, and I think, can't remember, it's been quite a while. Two ladies came in, and later I saw they came for the very first time. And while we were ministering, I just looked at them, and I began to say some things. And it was word of knowledge, and I was saying the secrets of their hearts. They ran away. That was their first contact. What kind of shush is this? They actually ran away. They knew if a service finished. But later I discovered that was actually what happened. Now, those are the secrets of his heart revealed, and he will fall down and worship God. Now let me ask you a question. If somebody falls down, comes for the first time, he falls down to worship God, it must be because he must have seen us worshiping God the same way. If we come here and they lift up hands, they must have seen you lifting up hands. So when people come here and they are learning, how do they learn? They learn by observing other saints concerning what they do. Can you see that? So if you've never publicly, not privately now, come out to speak or to speak with tongues or to interpret, it's because you have not been following good example by watching other saints who have come out to do it. Because you are meant to look at them and know how to comport yourself and how to conduct yourself. Because all this work that one accepts in spirit, the same same spirit that we all have. So the person that comes to speak, that is doing the rather by prophesying, the spirit is working through that person when a person starts to prophesy. So the spirit working is the man or a woman prophesying. Let me say it again. All this worketh. Who is working? The spirit. How does the spirit work? You will prophesy. Why didn't you prophesy? The spirit's work can only be seen when somebody takes what the spirit gives and expresses it. It doesn't say the spirit will prompt you first. The spirit can prompt you. It simply tells you when you desire, because you are following after love. When you desire spirituals, and you are desiring spirituals, you begin in tongues in order to arrive at that prophecy. When you begin to prophesy, it is the working of the spirit. What would the spirit work? Everything is spoke of in verse 8 to 10. That's what the spirit will work. So when I begin to prophesy, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, design of spirit, all this work it. So the spirit will work through you because you have desired. And through your desire, it will find expression in all of these manifestations. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. You begin the journey by showing your desire by doing tongues. You know now that it's entirely up to you if you stop at tongues. It's not up to the spirit. Because the spirit is teaching you through the teachings of Paul that you should just follow after love. You know now that if you stop at tongues alone, if any man speak with tongues, let it be by two or at most by three, and then let him interpret. If there is no interpretation, let him keep silence in the church. Speak to himself and to God. Can you see that? You know why he's speaking to himself and to God? So he can get to a place where he edifies himself enough to go again. What will he do when he goes again? He will now edify the church. So if he's not edifying the church, he should sit down and speak to himself and to God. So he's not being ignored. He's edifying himself to the point where he can move from tongues to interpretation, which he didn't achieve before. Now, why didn't he achieve it? There are people who are unlearned. Because the ability that you have to do tongues is the ability that you have to interpret. There are not two abilities. So you can talk yourself out of interpretation. I say, I don't feel it. It's not feeling. It's an ability. If you do tongues without feeling, how many of you know you can do tongues with feeling and without feeling? How many of you know? How many of you can feel like speaking and you can feel like not speaking? How many of you, when you don't feel like speaking, the speaking is still there? Say, thank you. So can you see that we cannot ride on your feeling? Because Peter did not count on his feeling on the Pentecost. Peter said, this is that which was spoken. I will pour out. Who is pouring out? God. What's the pouring? Spirit. Can you see spirit? No. How is spirit poured out? Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. What did Joel keep? He skipped tongues. Can you see that? He didn't mention tongues. But Paul is not saying, when you hear prophecy in the New Testament, it's because somebody did tongues and he interpreted. And this is following after love. How does Joel say it? You will do ministry. Hallelujah. Should I say it again? How did Joel say it? Joel chapter 2, verse 17. It shall come to pass in the last days. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and what? Daughters shall prophesy. What does it say? Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall see what? And upon my servants and what? Handmaidens. So from sons and daughters to servants and handmaidens. So who is a servant? Who is a handmaiden? The one who is prophesying. What does prophecy? It's not for you. It's for others. You are now a minister. You are now doing ministry. That's what Joel is saying. So he says every single son and daughter is a potential minister. If they will switch, what makes them switch? Desire. What governs desire? Love. What will their desire now do based on love? Because love is the knowledge. What will their desire do now? It will shape their will. Glory to God. So notice where Paul starts from here. I would that you all speak with tongues. I would that you all speak. So how do you speak with tongues? You will to speak. But rather, how do you do rather? You also will to rather. So the willingness I use to do tongues is the willingness that governs interpretation of tongues. Again, if you say fuel has finished, you know what I mean? Fuel has finished on the way. Pastor, I want to, but it's just that it's not coming. Where is it not coming from? Okay, do tongues. Ah. But you say fuel has finished. It didn't finish for tongues. Where did it finish from? Is this interpretation something? No. If it didn't finish for tongues, it didn't finish for what? Interpretation. It's fuel has finished. Tongues should dry up. But because fuel cannot finish, you know what I mean by fuel finish now, spiritually speaking. Okay. So your mind is cheating you out of continuing. What does it mean continue? To do the rather. Why is rather very important? Because people need to be edified. So I would that you all speak with tongues, or rather I prophesy. For greater is he that prophesy than he that speak with tongues, except he interpret that all may receive, the church may receive what? Edifying. The church may receive edifying. So the church needs to receive edifying. Who is the governor of edification? The one who interprets his tongues. Is the spirit in charge of edification? Yes and no. What's the spirit's part? The spirit work it. How does the spirit work it? Somebody prophesies. What's prophesying? The person does tongues, he interprets it. What governs that interpretation? He desires. Hallelujah. He desires. So I say, Mr. Aola, please minister to me. She can do one or two things. She can say, oh. What is she considering when she says, oh? Maybe the way she feels. She feels tired. She feels. Now, you can do that, or you can say, let's hold hands. And you can show your desire to walk in love towards me by starting out in tongues. Tongues is an indication of desire. Tongues is, I'm bringing you a package gift. But don't worry, I will help you unwrap it. Because when you interpret, you're unwrapping the gift. Why will you give me a gift after you have gone? Even me, I can't unwrap it. What is inside? I have a rough idea. Idea is not what I need now. I need the content of the, because it's spiritual in nature. So, Mr. Alam must now help my ministry and my life by walking in love. And continuing, he must do the greater. So in verse 1, brother, verse 5, greater. Can you see now? Greater. So, let's continue. Verse 12, look at what it says. 1 Corinthians 14:12. See what the word he uses. Even so, for as much as you are zealous, notice, zealous, desirous of spirituals, which is the things that pertain to the spirit, now that you have knowledge, what is governing your zeal? Knowledge. Now you now have knowledge. So were they zealous? Yes. The church according was zealous. What did they need? Knowledge. To aid their zeal or to push their zeal in the right direction. So for as much as you are zealous of spiritual, seek. So notice now, I am going to now tell you how to channel your zeal. You are to seek. What is the word seek? That's the same word desire at the beginning. So you are now to seek that you may excel. The word excel means overflow. So there is already zeal present. You love the things of the spirit. I'm giving you knowledge. What's the knowledge? The manifestation is given to every man. All this worketh that one and serves his spirit. So now that you know it is given, the spirit works, and the spirit works by dividing to every man as each man will. Not as the spirit will, as each man will. So a man now that wants to show how willing he is, where will he begin? He can talk himself out of it by just keeping quiet. I'm feeling nothing. You think we don't feel the way you feel? We that we are speaking, you don't know that we are acting on the authority of God's word to do what we are doing. You think it's by feeling. In fact, 90% of the time, you will feel not. You follow that feeling, you will not do anything spiritual. In fact, if you want to do spiritual, you follow feeling. How many months of the year will you be spiritual? You know, just think. You want to follow feeling. I'm just excited. I just want to study my Bible. Pastor, see, I send the alert for prayer. Do you even feel like praying? I'll do my word. I'll do 3 hours. Tell me how you feel like that every day. I'm just so gingered up. Just like, in fact, let me go 12 hours. Somebody says, why? You don't feel. You don't wait on feel. You don't live by feel. You live by the word. So, wherefore, I give you to understand. What was given to understand? The teaching of the word of God. What's that teaching? The manifestation is given. What's manifestation? To one is given. Explanation. All that is given, worketh that one and serves in spirit, dividing to every man. Who is every man? Every individual that will take this one and take that one and take this one and take that one, the spirit will walk through them. Hallelujah. So if a man wants to take, how does it begin? It does tongues. What does tongues indicate after desire? I want to take this one. I want to take that one. So look at what Paul said again. We're going to come back to verse 12 now shortly. In that verse 24, he says, but if all prophesy, those are the secrets of his heart. How did you move from tongues to secret? By interpretation, revelation gifts came into operation. So some people took word of knowledge and word of wisdom and design of spirits, and they ministered it to those who are unlearned. Hallelujah. So in the spirit of that, that means whoever is taking word of knowledge, word of wisdom, word of design spirit, and is ministering, the person is learned. So you won't find that person as the one who keeps silent in the church. He speaks himself unto God. He's not that person. The person who is doing that is temporarily unlearned because it's not going on or it's not following through. Can you see that now? Hallelujah. Now, as we're teaching now, locate yourself. Glory to God. Locate yourself. Are you learned or unlearned? Notice I didn't put the category of unbeliever because you're believers. Are you learned or unlearned? Can you see how unlearned people behave? The unlearned person here is even more intelligent than some believers because he at least got up to speak. First utterance, second utterance, third utterance, no interpretation. Go and sit down. Some, they wouldn't say not from the beginning of the meeting to the very end. They didn't even get up. You can imagine. They're just consumers. What will brother Yomide say now? I'm going to church to hear what he will say. Please, what will you also say? Are we not all temples of living God together? We are temples of living God. So, go back to verse 12. For as much, glory to God. So notice we're going back and forth now. For as much, verse 12, please, verse 12. Even so, that is in this manner. Okay, why is he using word even so? Let's go to verse 9. See what it says. Verse 9. I was trying to avoid doing verse of verse. So likewise ye. So ye. It's not ye, it's ye. So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue. Notice what's easy to be what? Understood. How shall it be known what is what? Spoken. For you shall speak where? Into the air. You know, it's very interesting how we change our facial expression when we want to prophesy. Ah. The squeezing of face, is there anointing? Is there anointing? Why can't you speak at your own pace? At your pace. Just at, as in just imagine me telling Brokwe, hello. If you're going to be, good evening, sir. It's where, sir? When I can use the hello, normal tone. So why does your tone change? Because you're prophesying. Why do you like using complicated words? Because it's prophecy. When the speech is not complicated, except the utter by the tongue. What's easy to what? You interpret yourself when the light of the rasmatas of this glory. If you like, as I just need, spirit, just leave you and do like this. After the spirit, just leave you and just like, if you don't know what he's doing, we don't know. Even me, I don't know what he's doing. I say, what is the problem? Except you utter by the tongue, what's easy? So, the same is. Now, if you are used to changing your tone when you are doing tongues, it is normal your tone will change when you are interpreting tongues. So if you don't change your tone, how do you do tongues? Emo, roste, friana ka ole, efroti in aya, elo dungro kieste, estro, pradakia, esesuso, fradakaye, elo gratu sitabaya. Was that difficult? Is my nose shaking? Muscle tension here. Because I'm speaking, I just spoke the way I would speak to you normally. This is normal syllables. That's what I did. What did I say in tongue? When you join together, the words as they come out, you will find understanding will follow every single utterance that you speak. And as understanding comes, you pick your words one by one, and there will be clarity to all that hear you. That's what I said. So you say it in a simple manner without struggle, so that you don't need to, okay, when you begin, you may be closing your eyes to prophesy because you want to concentrate. It's not because, you know, if you are not seeing people, it may help you to concentrate. If you are looking at some people's faces, maybe spirit will leave you. That's why you avoid looking at them. I look at this person's face, spirit will leave me. Let me just avoid looking, just close your eyes. Like, that's fine, But the older you grow, the more you realize that it's where you live. It's your nature. You utter by the tongue. What's easy to be what? Understood. What's easy to be understood? That is, in the simplest of terms, interpretation comes. The simplest of terms. So, let's read on. Say, so you shall speak into the air. That means you didn't minister. Did you speak? Yes. Did you minister? No. Did you speak? Yes. Did you minister? No. Now, notice, let me jump back to verse 12 because of time. See what it says. Even so ye, for as much as you are what? Zealous or desirous, seek that you may excel. That's the word overflow to what? Edify of the church. So let your zeal be shaped by love. What is love? Edification. Let love shape your zeal. So that when your zeal picks up things of the spirit, your zeal will drive you not to stop at tongues where you started, but to finish and conclude with interpretation of the tongues, which is where edification will now come to the church. Hallelujah. So, seek that you excel. The word excel means to overflow. What is overflow? Unto edification. That is to bless someone, to help someone, to strengthen someone, to comfort somebody. That is what you should pursue. That's what he's saying. Seek that you may excel to the edifying. So, this is an address to all saints. I would that you all. You all. So, ye all, it is plural. You all. I would that you all speak. Since it is you all, I would that you all interpret. I would that you all prophesy. I would that you all edify the church. So, if there's a man who is doing tongues, he's not interpreting, since he's not edifying, he should sit down and speak to himself and to God. Go back to that verse 27. Let's look at one or two thoughts and then we'll round up tonight. If any man speak in tongues, which is the word unknown is always italicized. There's nothing like unknown tongues. If any man speak in tongues, let it be by two or at most by three, and that by course, that is one after the other. By course means one after the other. One utterance after the other. And then let one, the word one there, is that same person who spoke those utterances. Let him what? Interpret. If there be no interpreter, that is, if he doesn't give interpretation, let him keep silence in the church. Let him speak to him. Look at next verse, verse 29. Let the prophet, and that's where the issue is. So, the word prophet here must be used only in the context of the passage. The word prophet here is not a reference to ministry gifts, per se. The word prophet here, look at verse 37. Verse 37. You see what it says? Verse 7. If any man think himself to be his prophet, or what? Spiritual. So, who is a prophet? Who is the prophet? So, can we entertain prophet and spiritual together? So, the one who is calling prophet there is one who stands to minister by prophesying, which is edifying. He is doing the work of a minister. It's called a spiritual. Who is spiritual? He has acknowledged. He has taken knowledge that was given. He has acted on it. He's a spiritual person. He's not called prophet. Say amen. So, he's not talking about prophet like you find in Ephesians 4:11. So, go back to verse 29 now. Verse 29. So let the prophets or let the spiritual one speak to or three, and let the other, again the word other, let the same person judge. Now, listen carefully. We are reading contextually. What is the context? Somebody spoke first utterance, second utterance. He should not give more than three. If he doesn't bring interpretation, he should keep silence in the church. Let the prophet or the one who is spiritual, the one who is ready to go beyond just doing tongues to interpret, let him also speak. Notice two or three, and let that same person judge. What does he judge? He will give interpretation. That's the judgment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, again, we're teaching in the light of the context. If you look at the Greek words, you will know what I'm talking about. Let the other, the word other there means that same person, let him judge. Who is the prophet? The one who is spiritual. Now, again, am I talking about ministry gifts? No. When it comes to ministry gifts, ministering, do we judge? Yes, that's different. This is not what he's talking about here. The judgment day is a local assembly. Is a local assembly where there are saints, where everyone who does tongues, every one of them can prophesy. That's what he's talking about. It. Hallelujah. So notice in verse 37, it calls the prophet spiritual, somebody who has acknowledged the realities of what Paul taught as the commandments of the Lord. So he has taken knowledge where Paul said, wherefore I give it to understand. So he is not going to stop at tongues. He's going to go on to edify or to edify. That's what it means to judge. Look at next thing. And as it, so from that judging, that is, when he now interprets, notice what happens next. Verse 30, if anything, notice the word anything salicized, if it be revealed to another that sits by, that the first hold is what? Is peace. So notice the consecutive way the ministry is going. Notice from speaking to revelation. Can you see? Something's revealed. So something is revealed. Something is revealed, and then he continues, and he's talking about continuous ministry based on somebody who is spiritual. Now, notice, prophets generally are given to revelation gifts, isn't it? So, that's why these two lines of scripture make it appear as though it's strictly talking about ministry gifts, but no, it's talking about those who have acknowledged the truth of God's word, because in verse 6, look at verse 6, so you know, revelation gifts are not limited to those who sign the prophetic. Look at verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come to you, speaking with what? Tongues. What shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by what? A revelation. So, what is Paul teaching? I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather you prophesy. For greater is it that prophesies than he that what? Speak with tongues, except he interpret. So, he's teaching what will interpretation carry? It will carry revelation or knowledge or prophesying or a teaching. Can you see that now? Can you see that? So, notice again, he has used the word revelation again in verse 24. But if all prophesy, those are the secrets of his heart made. So the whole church, everybody in the church, because it is to everybody that word of knowledge is given. It's to everybody that word of wisdom is given, isn't it? Everybody has what? Design of what? Spirits. Glory to God. Can you see that now? So let all things be done unto what? Edify. That is how to use love to operate and to minister the things of the Spirit. So love should shape your decision. Love should shape your action. Love should help you to steward the things of the Spirit. Now, we're going to continue next week, but here's what I want you to see. All this work at that one, the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally, and maybe next week I pray I'll be able to get to that point where I will show you, because in each instance, when you can't find a particular word, look for the simile, the word closest to you, the way it's used. Begin to see that. In, I think, John chapter 6, when Jesus, the crowds followed Jesus, and they've been with him for 3 days, and Jesus wanted, they were hungry. Jesus didn't want them to go home empty. I mean, hungry. Now, our disciples, do you have anything? He said, we have only this. And Jesus told them to sit in companies. When the loaves were multiplied, the Bible says, they gave to every man as he had need. Listen, there was enough. But the person that determined how much they received was the individual. So what you receive may not be what I receive, because I would tell you how much will fill me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's just common sense. If we all go to a buffet, we know. And it's not by body size. Yes, it's not by body size. I've not seen wonderful mummies before. They're like this. But when they eat, they're like, your mind is trying to imagine, where is it happening to? They're like, is this playing? What kind of plane is this? So I wonder that. These things are playing too. So you're thinking like, wait, if that person is big, then no, genetically speaking, you can be a bit on the big side, genetically speaking. That even if you take water, it to show. But some people, you really wonder, why are you like this? Everything they give you to eat, it's not showing. When you go to a buffet, that's why they say serve yourself or use your hand to do yourself. That's what buffet means. It's already paid for. But I eat more than some people. Why some people pack food? You know, it is as much as you have need. So Jesus told them, so I won't say, Peter doesn't like my face. He gave me small. He gave to them as much as they had need. Who made the supply? Jesus. Who was responsible for how much they will receive? The people that were being given will tell them, pack more, pack more, more. So it was the disciples who distributed. It was the people that determined how much they received. I hope you understand. That's an illustration of the things of the Spirit. The Spirit distributes severally to individuals. Why individuals? Because individuals determine based on desire how much of the Spirit will find expression. What the Spirit work? It will work. How will it work? Through every man that receives. Hallelujah. Right, let me just stop here tonight. I hope you got something. So because when you are saying things like, it is only what the Spirit gives me. No, it is what he gave to all of us. Some of us just had more need and we took more than you took. That's what we did. So we're trying to help you to get to a place through knowledge that you can also take more and express more and minister more to us. That's what we're trying to get you to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah.